Hey, good afternoon, Juneau. It's just seconds before 3 o'clock. You're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore will be your host today for Juneau Afternoon. We have a great lineup of guests. Tonight is the kickoff night for the Evening at Egan lectures, and Jim Bechtel will be here to talk about his talk on early habitations and marine reptiles of southeast Alaska. There is a Yoga for Addictions classes coming up this weekend, and it's the previews are this weekend. Mukta Khalsa and Grace Elliott will be here to tell us about that. Janice Holst is coming in to talk about her upcoming retirement, and Elva Bontrager will drop down from the tramway to tell us about this weekend's Mountain Music Festival. So all of that's coming up on Juneau Afternoon today. Weather, well, looks like mostly cloudy, highs around 62 or so, west winds 10 miles per hour in this evening, becoming light and variable, and the word rain did not appear in that forecast. It's night now for National Native News. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. More than two dozen people from the Nez Perce tribe were charged with public nuisance infractions this week in tribal court. According to news reports, the charges stem from a protest last month, which temporarily stopped a shipment of equipment traveling through the Nez Perce reservation to Canadian tar sands. Tribal leaders were among those arrested at the event, including the chairman. Here's what Chairman Silas Whitman had to say at the August demonstration.
I don't look at this as a symbolic issue. Otherwise, we'd just issue a press statement, put up a few signs, and just let it go. No, it's just, we've run out of time and initiatives. So that leaves us with disobedience, civil disobedience.
Whitman is among those being charged. Arraignment is scheduled for next week. A new report from the Government Accountability Office finds that Native Americans would be eligible for expanded Medicaid, tax credits, or basic health care under the Affordable Care Act. As Tristan Autone reports, coordinated efforts are needed to get the information out to Native Americans.
The Government Accountability Office's Kathleen King says the report also looked at outreach efforts undertaken by the Indian Health Service and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid to promote enrollment in the new program.
We found that there was not a lot of widespread information about the expanded eligibility.
In states along the border, Texas to California, it's estimated that over 317,000 tribal members may be eligible for expanded Medicaid services alone. And at the moment, Texas is the only state in the Southwest that has opted not to expand services.
Given the fact that so many are going to be eligible for expanded coverage, we would hope that as many as possible would take advantage of that, because it is access to a broader range of services.
The GAO report finished interviews in February, and the Indian Health Service says they're now ready to start implementing ACA benefits in Indian country. Jeffrey Roth is a spokesman for IHS.
We're doing everything we can within our IHS-operated facilities. I know tribes are doing the same thing and planning to do the same thing, and urban Indian programs are as well.
Native Americans are exempt from the mandate to purchase coverage, and they will not pay financial penalties if they do not sign up. Still, with a majority of Native people living in urban areas without access to care through IHS, the ACA could fill in those insurance gaps. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autone.
Sea Alaska Heritage Institute has received a federal grant to fund a Tlingit language mentor program in southeast Alaska. The program's goal is to increase the number of fluent Tlingit speakers in 3 years, with the help of fluent speakers, advanced learners, and 3 southeast communities. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute President Rosita Worrell says language preservation is tied to cultural preservation.
All languages reflect a worldview, and there is a lot of knowledge and experience embedded in that language. And for our human society that's been around for thousands and thousands of years, we want to be able to capture that knowledge.
According to Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, there are about 200 Tlingit speakers and many students learning the language. A nearly $500,000 grant was awarded to the organization from the Administration of Native Americans for Language Preservation and Maintenance. The Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma announced today it has launched a new multimedia website featuring information and news about the tribe for its citizens and the public. The site features print, audio, video, photos, and social media elements, which can also be downloaded. The online newsroom includes categories like government and culture. The website was built by the tribe's business company. The content is generated by the tribe. A Mi'kmaq community in Quebec, Canada, is beginning its food, social, and ceremonial lobster fish this weekend. The Listigouche community fishery has an agreement with the government. Members are entitled to 500 traps. The season will run through October 6th. Today we remember Athabascan elder Richard Frank from Old Minto, Alaska. He passed away in September 2012 at the age of 85. He was a tribal leader who worked to preserve the Native way of life and a World War II Army veteran who founded the Alaska Native Veterans Association. Frank also helped establish the Fairbanks Native Association and worked closely with the Tanana Chiefs Conference. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
The Juneau World Affairs Council presents Six Continents on One Bicycle with Dr. Steve Fabes on Wednesday, September 18th at 5 p.m. in the Egan Room at Centennial Hall. Fabes is a medical doctor, freelance writer, a photographer, and an adventure cyclist. 3.5 years and more than 30,000 miles later, Steve has arrived in Alaska and will share the story of his journey through 43 countries on five continents. This event made possible by support from Greens Creek, Sea Alaska, GCI, and Wassman & Associates. That's Wednesday, September 18th, 5 p.m. at the Egan Room in Centennial Hall. JWAC, bringing the world to Juneau.
6 minutes and 18 seconds past 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore, your host today for Juneau Afternoon. Later on the show, we're going to be hearing from Elva Bontrager about a big event that's coming up tonight and tomorrow at the Tram. Basically, you get tickets, go up to the Tram, and there's a huge music fest going on up there. And one of the artists that will be singing up there is Jane Rudenberg, and here's a cut from her Unmarked Box album.
Get up in the morning, put some fire to the wood. The coffee's almost ready, so I feel pretty good. I carry in some water as the pancakes start to steam. I'm a woman in the woods, in a cabin by a stream. I don't have a shower, I don't really care. I may not look real wholesome, I may smell like a bear. The dogs can tell I'm coming, I'm a woolly living queen. I'm a woman in the woods, in a cabin by a stream. Dog is wet and muddy, there's a smile on her face. She's chasing rotting humpies, she sure loves this place. I didn't brush my hair today, this is quite a life. But I guess I'll never get to be some rich guy's trophy wife. I go to bed real early, get up kinda late. Dark here in Alaska, you just have to wait. Morning comes on slowly, there's lots of time to dream. If you're a woman in the woods, in a cabin by a stream. Underneath a palm tree down south in Belize, with cool boys bringing daiquiris and flowers in my hair. I'm a woman catching rays on the beach in a chair. If I'm not in the woods, you know that I'll be there. Down in Belize, they don't need long underwear.
So you need to rush out and get tickets and go up to the Tram and take advantage of that. There's another thing you can do tonight as well, and that is to get a taste of a program which is coming up. There will be a series of weekend workshops, and then I'm assuming some sort of follow-up that goes on. Multikau Kalsa is here, and she is the director of a program called Super Health. She's here with Grace Elliott, the local sponsor of this workshop, and the two of them are going to tell us a little bit about this Super Health workshop that's coming up. Hi, welcome to Juneau.
Hi, thank you so much, Pat. Yeah.
So what are we doing?
I just want to first emphasize that we are blessed and grateful to have Muktakar here to do this training this weekend. This will be the weekend that she will be here doing the training. That will be at VTRC, that's right by the hospital drive, and tonight...
The Vocational and Technical
Training Center. Yes, the Clinkett and Hyde Vocational Training and Resource Center.
Right.
And that's 9 to 5 Saturday and Sunday. We'll maybe finish at 4 on Sunday. So that's the main training program that's happening tonight at Pavitt's. There will be an introductory class so people can get a taste of Kundalini Yoga and meet Mukta, and she can talk a little bit about what will happen this weekend, which would be
Mukta.
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me here to Juno. I'm in love with it already. I've only been here 24 hours.
Well, this is our typical weather. It never rains here.
That's right.
And it's always... never has snow. It never gets dark.
Well, you sold me. So I love it already. Anyway, thank you for inviting me here. And SuperHealth is basically a system of yogic science to deal with living life. And by that I mean we live under a time of great stress. The pressures and demands on our time, on our psyche, is growing all the time. And I think that really starts from the computers, the computer age, the age of information. Things are going so fast, and nothing is slowing down anytime soon, at least in our lifetime. And, you know, at our fingertips, we have everything available to us, which is fantastic. Everything is available. It's a resource for us. But at the same time, it's also, unless we know how to walk away or turn off the computer, it's endless, and it bombards our psyche. And we're very sensitive as human beings. And I think that's really the beginning of the overwhelm. And so all we know is that we're stressed out. The demands of the time are not slowing down anytime soon. And we have to deal with the pressures of everyday living. And by that, what happens is we just look for something to help us to deal with that, whether it's taking a drink, whether it's smoking pot or taking drugs, or sometimes even food becomes our emotional support. Something to give us that comfort, even for a moment. But it's something to give us that comfort and that just numbing ourselves to the pressures and demands. And that's really where it all starts from. And it's interesting because if you look at all great civilizations, they have fallen because of some kind of substance. If you look at China, it was a great civilization. It fell because of opium. Greece, Rome. Rome was a fantastic civilization. It fell because of wine. India was a great civilization, and it fell because of hashish. And today, in our country, we have all of the above and more. People cannot be with themselves. They cannot sleep at night. I was just reading on a news segment that 25% of the American population take some kind of prescription drug just to sleep. That's not even including sleep aids over the counter. Because people are not at comfort with themselves, at ease with themselves. They can't stop their mind from thinking. They're dealing with worry, with all the pressures again, and they just cannot be at peace. And so again, that's when you reach outside of yourself for that moment, temporarily, of some kind of peace. And that'll never be the answer, because it's never outside of ourselves. And so what we do at SuperHealth is we teach practical tools for everyday living to help us deal with the pressures of everyday life.
Can you give us a kind of an insight as to these practical tools?
Well, for one, as simple as the breath. The breath, when you think about it, the breath is your breath of life. It's the first priority when that baby is being born. The doctors, midwives have one great concern. Are they breathing properly? Is the child breathing okay? And this is very, you know, we know this to be true. Take the man on his deathbed with all the money and power he has. What is he gasping for? That very, very last breath. He's not thinking about his money or his bank account. He's thinking about gasping for that last breath. So we know it to be true in the beginning. We know it to be true at the end. And everything else in between, which is where we all are, we get oblivious. We have amnesia. We forget about the preciousness of the breath. And really, the way you breathe affects your state of mind. An emotional person, if you watch them, they're breathing very erratically, very irregular, very shallow breathing. The man who is consolidated, who is at peace with himself, he's probably breathing more slower, more command breathing, more controlled breathing, and more evenly. The breath is evenly. And so the breath really controls our state of mind and our emotional stability. So simple things like that, just being aware when you want to react to a situation desperately, when you want to throw that punch, when you want to start yelling and screaming at somebody who's picking a fight or whatever the situation. If you at that moment can control yourself by just remembering just to breathe, to slow down and to breathe, that alone could control yourself and it would help you become the leader and commander of that other person as well.
I'm assuming that you'll speak of more than breath over the course of the weekend.
Yes, definitely. That's just one aspect, and that's just your prana, your love of life, your vigor, your vitality. The other is your physical. We do have physical tension, stress, demands, put stress on our nervous system. And it weakens us. It weakens our nervous system. Many times you could actually see that in people where they shake uncontrollably or their legs are always moving and, you know, they're always jittery. They jump up and down. They're mental thoughts. They move from one thought to another that's completely disconnected. All right? That's a weakening of the nervous system. We all have it to some degree. And it can be rebuilt. That's the beauty of all this. It can be rebuilt. And what that does is once we rebuild our nervous system, it gives us the ability to accept the challenges of life and deal with it with grit, with determination, with stamina. This is a training. It doesn't just come. It's a training. It's a training of the physical body. And then at the same time, the meditations is a training of the mind. The psychology, the psychological addiction, where our minds keep running away from us, our thought patterns, you know, like I said, we jump from thought to thought to thought. We could be exhausted just by the thoughts of our mind, even though we haven't been doing anything. And so all this is a training. So we train ourselves physically to be more in command with our nervous system with Kundalini yoga, including the breath and the meditation and the physical posture. So it's threefold, as well as the psychological, which is the meditations, helping us to learn how to be focused, how to be clear and consolidated in our mental thought process.
Now, Muktikar, you will conduct a weekend of training here, but then there's an ongoing program that Grace will be involved with?
I will support what Mukta is teaching this weekend, so what people learn, they'll have an opportunity to practice in a weekly yoga class for 12 weeks afterwards.
And that will be held where?
Rainforest Yoga, 5:30 to 7. Okay. So the idea is that's in place to support what we're going to learn this weekend, and people can have the experience of that with Mukta, and then a place to be in community with other people practicing.
Are you looking for a specific group of people to attend the session this weekend?
Well, that's what's so great about it. There is absolutely no requirement. Many people come who may be practicing yoga already, yoga practitioners. Other people are curious about it. Other people may be healthcare professionals. And by the way, this course is approved through national certification for 13 and a half CEUs, continuing education units, or another person may be in recovery and are looking to make certain lifestyle changes, serious lifestyle changes. It also includes a lot with nutrition and even the foods that we eat. If we eat junk food, we're not going to feel very healthy and with a fill of vigor and vitality. And so we're going to work a lot with the food and the diet. Each of the 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, we will be serving a specific therapeutic juice formula. So people will have a direct experience. It's not just academics. It's about a real experience that people can have the opportunity to look at anything either personally that they're going through or professionally that they would like to integrate with somebody in their life or as a healthcare provider that they could integrate and start making these life-enhanced changes.
The times on the event, once again, now tonight is the opportunity to go to Pavitt Health and Fitness Center and
yes.
Kind of get an introduction.
5:30 to 7.
Okay.
This evening, and then at VTRC, which is on Hospital Drive, so just as though you were going to the Old Valley Medical or Juno Bone and Joint, you just take a left instead of a right and directly back there.
Mm-hmm.
That will be starting at 9 both mornings, Saturday and Sunday, ending at 5 on Saturday and 4 on Sunday. For people who have not registered, please come early tomorrow morning to register. People will also be registering at Pavitt this evening, so our request is please come early.
Is there a charge for the weekend?
There is. There is a, the fee for the weekend course is $295, and it is a donation-based class this evening.
Okay.
So there's no set fee.
Excellent. Well, welcome to Juno.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for bringing this program to us. I'm sure you'll find lots of people who are interested, so I am looking forward to the possibility of hearing more.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I had one last thought, because it's beautiful weather out there, that yes, it's beautiful, and you can go out in the sun this weekend, but when it starts raining on Monday, you will still have your habit pattern, so it might be okay to come inside in the sun just this one weekend.
Thank you so much.
The Montagues and the Capulets, the Jets and the Sharks, the Horns and the Violins. The only performance in Alaska of an innovative and provocative string and brass collaboration, Boston Brass and Enzo String Quartet, will be performing Notes from the Balcony, Romeo and Juliet in Music, 8 p.m. Friday, September 20th at the Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. Tickets at jahc.org, Hearthside Books, and The Jack. Sponsored by KATH. Major support from the National Endowment for the Arts. This message is brought to you by the Juno Arts and Humanities Council.
This is Bird Night. In September of 1851, Henry David Thoreau wrote, "The whippoorwills now begin to sing in earnest about half an hour before sunrise, as if making haste to improve the short time that is left them. They sing for several hours in the early part of the night, then sing again just before sunrise. Clearly and continuously, the bird announces its name. In summer to early fall, eastern whippoorwills breed in woodlands of eastern North America. Their camouflaged plumage blends seamlessly with dead leaves on the forest floor. At dawn and dusk, and all through moonlit nights, whippoorwills sally out from tree branches to hawk flying insects. Woodland habitat has greatly diminished for eastern whippoorwills as forests become more fragmented. The National Audubon Society lists them among the top 20 common birds in decline. Protecting and restoring large expanses of forest are crucial for many forest species, including the whippoorwill. It remains, as Thoreau described, a bird of the night side of the woods, where you may hear the whippoorwill in your dreams." Thank you for joining me today to look into the life of this intriguing creature. From Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
So why, you may be asking yourself, at 3:25 in the afternoon are we playing klezmer music on the radio? And the reason is because he's one of the artists who's going to be tonight and tomorrow night up at the Tram, and we'll be hearing the whole story of this major event, the Music Fest up at the Tram this year. But, of course, those of you that recognize the clarinet stylings, that's no less than Dale Weigand, who we usually hear in here playing an accordion. So, anyway, the klezmer music will quietly fade out as I introduce my next guest. And this is sort of a, well, let's see, an event, I guess. Janice Holst, whom we know as a fabulous dance teacher for many years here in Juneau, has announced her retirement this year, and I think she's both sad and possibly happy at the next opportunity that's waiting on the horizon. Janice, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yeah.
I love this little station here, my little hot seat.
Yeah, so let's start at this end of the thing. So what are you doing by way of your retirement? You're closing the studio, right?
Yes, I'm closing the studio. Everybody thought I was going to continue it on with some of my dancers because I have a couple of very good dancers that would be great teachers, and I was going to sponsor them for a year and do everything for them and then just let them sort of wing it on their by themselves. But they both are gorgeous girls, and they both got engaged. So within the next year, they'll be making wedding plans. And I just didn't want to leave them with a big load of confusion. So it's better to close the studio and let somebody start new.
So this does come with a slight opportunity, and that is that you will be selling costumes, fabrics and trim, dance berets and mirrors, black lights, sound equipment, and a whole bunch more at the Janice Holst Dance Studio Big Garage Sale this weekend, 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. What's the address?
Well, it's in the Mendenhall Mall.
Okay.
At the Super Bear end, and it's across from the hairdresser.
Okay.
So
okay.
Just come on in and just, you'll be amazed at the things you see. I don't know. In fact, my husband is very amazed because we emptied two storage units out to bring a lot of things in, so... yeah, it's a lot of good stuff.
Now, you don't anticipate that anyone would come by to say goodbye to you or to wish you luck in your retirement at all during this period of time.
Oh. I get so weepy. I'm like filled to the brim with teardrops, and all I need is one smile or a hug or something, and all of a sudden one more teardrop, and I just bubble over.
Oh,
so
dear.
Yeah.
No, this is a big change. It really
I
is.
I know. Yeah. 53 years of doing this, so yeah.
53 right. years of teaching and 35 years of doing the Grumpsicle.
Yes, indeed.
So how did that get started?
Well, that started in 1975 in Cape May, New Jersey. And, you know, I was just taking the advice of my dear old dad. He said, Janice, if you're going to be putting on shows, don't make the fathers fall asleep like I had to do during all your earlier recitals. He said, my ribs are still sore from when your mother would poke me. John, that's who's his daughter? That's somebody else's daughter. Clap, you know, and he said, don't do that. Please don't do that. So I said, all right. So I decided when I got to Cape May, New Jersey, that I was going to put on a Christmas, you know, kind of pageant show, and it was really going to be good, except I really needed a theme. And so I wanted somebody crabby and grumpy and everything. So the people that were helping me plan it, we were trying to think of the name of this creature, and some were calling this and that and something. And then all of a sudden somebody said, well, how about a popsicle? I said, well, that name's been already used. And then my son walked by, who was 13, and he was a very cool little football player. They used to call him the Iceman. And he walked through past the living room, past these ladies, and they all said, oh, Eric, you're so cute, you know. And he just put on that face. And I said, don't be so grumpy. And then it's like the room stopped.
Wham.
And then everybody said, the Grumpsicle, you know. Uh-huh. And that was the beginning. And so every year since then, it's been a different adventure. So I have a lot to write my book about.
Yeah. So you are going to write a book.
I am, but I want everybody that even has a funny little memory to, like, email me or something about what you remember backstage or what you remember when the time when the sirens went off because some child pulled the fire extinguisher and the firemen came into the auditorium and then they didn't see anything, So we let everybody back in the building, and then it rang again, and people had to stand up to get out, and then we finally let them back in again, and everybody came back. And so at the end of the show, usually Santa Claus appears, and he tells the Grump School all the awful things he did and how he's got to be good and all that stuff. But this time, the Grump School didn't know it, but they must have sent two gigantic Juno firemen, and they walked up behind it when Santa Claus was yelling, and the Grump School has this big head and can't see anybody. So he was at the Santa Claus was saying, and don't play with matches, and don't do this, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, you see the Grump School kicking his feet, and this Grump School is a pretty big guy. And these two firemen picked him up under the arms, and he had no idea how he got up in the air like that, you know. So that kind of taught him a lesson. So, I mean, but there's silly things like that.
Yeah.
So if anybody just remembers anything, they should just email me, host@gci.net, anything.
Well, I'm always reminded of the Dianu poem that they always recite each year. That would have been enough is the end line of it. But that would have been enough if you hadn't done the Rotary, if you hadn't done the drill team, if you hadn't done DAD, if you hadn't done the UAS ballet, if you hadn't worked with the other ballet studios here in Juneau and like that. You have been one busy lady.
I know it, and I mean, I love every bit of it. And what's really funny now is that I'm supposed to be retiring, although I'm right in the middle of selling Rotary bulbs, so somebody can go to Rotary Bulbs and buy Rotary Bulbs for me. And then also on Tuesday, I'm getting jailed for bail. And so somebody don't leave me in there. Please call the jail for bail, whatever it is, March of Dimes, and bail me out. I have to raise $1,000 by Tuesday, and I haven't even started.
Tuxedo Junction.
Oh, that was a great event for the university, a big fundraiser for many years. And we used to do it at Centennial Hall and have the big, they used to have like casinos and everything, and I would put on big floor shows, and we just had a great time doing that. So we did several of those. And one of the nice things was that the university sponsored a night at the penthouse a few weeks before, and so I did maybe about five or six lessons, free ballroom lessons, and you'd be surprised at who came, and we just had a lot of fun. We had like 30 or 40 people coming to each of the lessons. It was fabulous. So we did that too.
Brigadoon, Fiddler on the Roof, Sound of Music, Little Abner, Finian's Rainbow, West Side Story, South Pacific. How did you ever get out of the high school to do anything else?
Oh, I know. Well, I started out back when I was on the East Coast. I was doing them in, you know, in New Jersey and everywhere, you know, so even Bye Bye Birdie, all kind of things, and Fantastics, and I don't know. I used to just be able to do everything. Finally, I got too busy to do the high school because I had so many students. I had to start right after school, so I could, and I went till like 8 or 9 o'clock at night, so I couldn't do any more musicals. So I haven't done a musical for the high school in a long time, and I miss that too.
I hear that you do. You're probably in a position to know. Your students, people will continue to want to learn dance in Juneau. Without you, what will they do?
That's what my little grandson Ian said yesterday. He said, Grandma, I'm real sad. And I said, well, why? What's the matter? Was somebody mean to you at school or something? He's 9. And he said, no, I'm sad you're not going to be a dancing teacher anymore. And I said, well, Ian, I said, we're just going to close up the place and I'll have more time to do things. You know, he says, yeah, but I wanted to be one more grumpsicle because I think I was going to dance in that one. You know, he'd, you know, edge off every year and say, no, I don't think so. But then I said, well, I said, we're just going to close it down and someone else can do it. She said, well, wait, stop, don't sell anything, because Bella, his sister, who is only 13, she's in 8th grade, he said, she's such a real good dancer. She knows everything. Let her be the dancing teacher and you could just rest. So, yeah, and that's them in that way. I mean, kids that I see, they hang on to my legs, the little ones, and they want me to keep dancing. And my adults are even worse than that. They're they all do that fitness, ballet for fitness, and it's a real nice class. We meet twice a week, and, you know, we use pretty ballet music, but we do a lot of good stretching, but then they also learned the pretty arms and things that you learn in ballet as opposed to, you know, Zumba or hip-hop or something where it's sharper moves, and the ladies don't feel like doing that, so... They're mad at me, too. I don't think I'm going to have any friends left in Juneau.
Oh, yes, you will. You will be crowded with friends.
I hope.
Trust me, as a retired person, I can tell you that retirement is not all that bad a thing.
Really?
Really. Then you get to choose what you do. But it sounds like your whole life has been choosing what you wanted to do. Janice, you will, of course, be horribly missed on the art scene in Juneau, but you will be part of it, and we all know that. It'll just be in a slightly different role. We'll figure out what it is as we go along here. So you are staying here?
Yes, I am. In fact, you know how things keep coming in my lap. I mean, I never, ever apply for any jobs or anything with dance. They always appear on my lap. And today, my husband and I were invited by a friend to come down to the Senior Center for lunch, and we did. And as we were walking off, they said, oh, stay for our advisory board. We're planning something. I said, oh, I really can't because we have other things to do. And by the time I walked out the door, they were already asking me to plan for the Alaska Day thing, and I already said, oh, yeah, great, we can do little tram rides, or we could do maybe a Victorian tiara. And I thought, stop talking. You haven't even gotten out of the studio yet, but, I mean, there's always something, and Juneau is so much fun, and I just love doing anything, so if anybody wants to do anything, I'll do it, you know.
Every time a door closes, a window opens.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I hope so.
Good on you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 13th of September, 2013. It was on this day, 1814, Francis Scott Key was inspired to write the words to the Star-Spangled Banner, watching the British attack on Fort McHenry in Baltimore. The British had the upper hand in the War of 1812, just 3 weeks before. They had set fire to much of Washington, D.C., burned the Capitol, the Treasury, the President's House, President James Madison, forced to flee for his life. Americans were afraid the British might choose to invade New York or Philadelphia or Boston. The British had recently begun using rockets, a new military weapon, incendiary rockets. And Francis Scott Key watched them raining down on Fort McHenry at the mouth of Baltimore Harbor, and he assumed the fort would not be able to withstand the attack. But just after sunrise, he saw the American flag still flying over the fort. The commander of the fort, Major Armistead, had chosen to fly an enormous flag that day, 42 feet long, 30 feet high. And Francis Scott Key began writing his poem, which celebrated a battle that turned out to be the turning point of the war. And it also immortalized the flag itself as a sacred object in America. It's the birthday of Bill Monroe, born in Rosine, Kentucky, 1911. Father of bluegrass, brilliant mandolin player, tenor, singer. In 1938, he formed his band, the Bluegrass Boys, which came to include, over the years, Don Reno, Jimmy Martin, Carter Stanley, Vassar Clements, Chubby Wise, Byron Berline, and Lester Flatt, and Earl Scruggs. It's the birthday of the pianist Clara Schumann, born Clara Wick in Leipzig, Germany, 1819. She gave a concert when she was 8 years old, and Robert Schumann, who was 17, fell in love with her. She made her formal debut at the age of 11, considered a great pianist for the rest of her life. She married Robert Schumann when she turned 21, had 7 children by him, and continued to tour and perform and compose, played her last concert in 1891, 61 years after her career had begun. Clara Schumann, who said, "My imagination can picture no fairer happiness than to continue living for art." And it's the birthday of the British novelist and playwright John Boynton Priestley, J.B. Priestley, 1894, born in Yorkshire, served in the infantry during World War I. Most of his friends were killed in combat. Didn't write about the war, wrote about the time before the war. Priestley said, "I belong at heart to the pre-1914 North Country. Here's a poem for today by Connie Wanick, entitled Red Rover. What courage we had, our infantry stretched across the yard, no shields, no swords, no cavalry assembled behind us, calming their nervous mounts. We had the strength of our arms, the speed of our legs. We had our friends and our convictions. Opposite us, the undulating line of children drew suddenly straight. It was early on a summer day, but the larks fell silent. A high voice invoked the name, Red Rover. We could not say who said it first, but righteousness passed through us like current through a wire, or like an inaugural sip of wine burning in our chests, something Father gave us over our mother's earnest protestations. Red Rover, a poem by Connie Wanick from Hartley Field, published by Holy Cow Press and used by permission here on The Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering poetry podcasts to listen to and thousands of poems to read at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for this program comes from Balloons by Night Moods, offering photo booth prop boxes for your next event. Prop boxes include hats, boas, glasses, and other accessories. More information at 523-1099.
It's 18 minutes before 4 o'clock, and you're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. I was just remarking before we opened up the microphones that it just seems like barely a year ago that Elva Bontrager and I got together here in the studio and talked about this event. Gee, it was a year ago, wasn't it?
Just about.
So, it is coming up, the Mountain Music Fest.
Right.
Okay.
Which is not mountain music, but it's music on the mountain.
Music on the mountain. Okay, right. Good. Well, we want to make clear that it's not not old-timey mountain music, right?
It's okay. A wide variety.
It certainly is. So, you put the program together this year, and you have, you really tapped the town out. There's hardly anybody left on the ground once you get them all up here.
Actually, we've got enough left to do it again.
Yeah, do you? Okay, so who all are we? Well, first of all, let's talk about the event. What do you do? How do you get there? What is it? And all that sort of stuff.
If you want just the show and the trip, you pay $15 at the foot of the mountain at the counter. Mm-hmm. And make sure you tell them that you're up there for the music, and they'll give you a wristband, and you get the special rate and all that. If you want the dinner in addition, that's another, well, that'll be a total of $31, 15 plus 60, 16, and that entitles you to ride the show and the dinner. And it's going to be great.
So ride, show, and dinner up at the top of the tram. What time do you have to show up to get the ride?
You can go up any time.
Okay.
I checked on that.
Okay.
You can go up any time from this moment on. And the actual music, the actual show will start at 7 o'clock. But there will be dinner music also live in the restaurant starting at 5 o'clock or 5:15, they said.
Okay.
And that'll go into almost 7, and then we'll transfer to the theater.
Okay. And the big show is over in the theater.
Right.
And tonight it's going to include Mike Truax.
Yeah.
Debbie Johnson plus one.
Well.
Do you know who the one is?
No.
No.
It could be Steve Houlihan. It could be, these are musicians. I don't pin them down too far.
Okay. Then Alan Michael, Martha DeFriest, Gordon Sandy plus
right.
one.
Well.
Is that the same one?
We'll see.
Okay.
That.
We'll see who that shows up
yeah.
to be. Pat Henry plus one. Okay. That guy gets a good billing, you know.
It's too bad he's anonymous.
And then Terry Frederick and Glenn Hoskinson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Tom Loker is playing.
Yes, and he's going to ask Kari from the Rift Rockets to sing a couple songs.
Sing a couple songs, okay. And then,
I've heard them before.
Then they're let's good. See. Then Kari and the Rift Rockets are coming on, I think.
Uh-huh.
Jason Caputo, Kari Groven, Mike Busey, Dale McFarlane, Chris Friary, right?
Yes, Andy Engstrom broke his... wrist or something like that.
Mm.
No, collarbone.
Ooh.
So Dale is going to sit in.
Okay. I should mention Terry Frederick and Glenn Hoskinson. Their band is called Know When to Quit.
Right.
Okay. All right. And then the show closes out with the Sean McColl Band, and that's Sean McColl, Charles Burke, Joe Carson, and Scott Fry, mm-hmm. about midnight-ish, I think, maybe what? What
well, this will be we'll end right around 9:30.
Right around 9:30.
They want us off the mountain by 10.
Oh, they do?
Right.
Okay.
Because of the extra personnel and hours.
Yeah, okay.
But
so.
we can vacate real fast. We did in about 7 minutes.
Okay. Now, that's just tonight.
Right. That's
now,
only tonight.
It goes on tomorrow, right?
Exactly.
Now, that $15, do you pay that again tomorrow to go up?
Well, that has not been established. I don't actually know. It's not a bad prize. So I have
that's
to say
true.
That
I mean, for what we're about to tell them that they're going to get to see, it'd be
and
worth
so
another $15
I've
to go up.
I have not been told otherwise.
Okay.
But the...
But you got the wristband. You can take it up there and see if they charge you another $15. Just
yeah.
bring a 10 and a 5 in case they tell you to
yeah.
walk, right? Okay. What time does it start Saturday?
It starts at 7.
7 p.m.
And again, there will be dinner music.
Okay.
And that will be Bob Bloom and David Crossman.
Okay. So now Saturday, again.
Again.
If they do charge, it's and if you haven't gone on Friday, it's $15
yeah. mm-hmm.
for the ride and the show,
uh-huh.
$31 for the ride, the show, and the dinner.
Exactly.
Okay, you pay it at the base of the tram.
Right.
And they'll just keep
and
hauling
just
people up there.
Go to the counter. Make sure you're saying you're going up for the music.
Up for the music,
the
right.
The show.
And then they'll give you the rate.
Right.
Okay. All right. So Irene Mueller.
Irene Mueller
yeah.
is one of those fantastic ones that is going to go far if this is what she plans to do, because she's a great crowd pleaser and great voice.
Bob Banghart.
Bob is a multi-talented person, not just musician, and he's great. And I don't know what he's going to do, but it's always good.
Third act is the pitch hitters. That's Jack Farnsworth, LaRae Jones, Rachel Zond, and Suzanne Curtin. They've been on my show here.
Yeah, they're in the Pride Chorus Ensemble, and uh-huh. the harmonies are wonderful.
Uh-huh. Oh, and Bobby Mitchell and Mary Graham are singing with them.
Yeah.
So it's, six people.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the fourth act is John Lager. John Ingalls, am I saying Lager? Is it Lager?
Mm-hmm.
Lager. Okay. And then Russell Sandstrom and Amy Hook. And
yeah, Amy Hook, yeah.
A little band of four there. Do they, mm-hmm. they don't have a name for their group.
I asked them, and the closest it came was three guys and a gal.
Three guys and a gal? Okay. Well, you know, that's true.
But, but they're going to do standards. She
oh, okay.
sings a lot of swing.
Oh,
it's
okay.
going to be great fun to find out, because John Lager has always been a jazz musician. And so it'll be fun to see what they come up with.
Yeah. And then this is Honey Duo. That's Karen Larson, Monica Host.
That's mother and daughter.
Okay. Good. And then Beth Leibowitz and Dale Wigand.
Right.
We heard a cut from Dale Wigand earlier, some of the klezmer music.
Yeah.
So are they doing klezmer?
I don't know, but they have they can draw from.
They're all over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And Miguel Rohrbacher is coming up on stage.
He
sang at the Folk Fest, I know.
Right,
yeah.
But that's his first performance at the Folk Festival. And I've been listening to him all summer. I mean, I play with him.
Uh-huh.
And now he's taking up fiddle.
Oh, yeah.
And he won't be playing fiddle tonight because he's uh-huh. still just taking it up.
Yeah.
In fact, he bought my fiddle. But he plays, so far, he plays just covers. But I have no doubt he's going to be writing songs. He's just a very talented family.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
they the, certainly are.
Charles Rohrbacher's.
Yeah, Charles.
And Paula's
uh-huh.
son.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Jane Rudenberg, we heard a cut of hers a little earlier in the show, David Crossman and Bob Bloom.
Exactly.
So just this amazing thing. And then the restaurant on Friday tonight, the dinner music is Jerry Fiskus, John Hartle, Michael Truax, and Frederick Hoskinson
right.
taking alternate sets, I think.
No,
right?
they're
it'll grouping?
Be very complimentary.
Oh,
there's
okay.
four different instruments.
Okay.
There's the dobro, the fiddle, the mandolin, and guitar, and vocals.
When did you start knocking on musicians' doors and saying, are you going to do it this year?
For this particular event, I started about, well, more than 2 months ago.
Yeah. When did they start knocking on your door and saying, are you going to do
it? I've had a few.
Yeah, I bet you have.
Yeah, because it's a popular thing.
Yeah, it is. How long have we been doing this?
We said eighth year, but I checked and it's the seventh year.
Seventh year.
Yeah.
Okay. So 7 years ago, you got this crazy idea. There's this tram, there's this place up there.
The manager at the time, George Reifenstein, and Paul Zahasky.
Uh-huh.
And the Zahasky family's not playing this year because they wanted to take a year out.
Right.
I
But they came up with it, and then Paul knew that I'd be interested, and so he got me on board.
Uh-huh. And let's see, there's some other folks that are involved in this. Kathy Pannensoon, your stage manager?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big job for
well,
this many
she's
acts.
Very good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, since she's on board and she's been there a couple of years, I get to watch the whole show now. Once I get there tonight, I don't have any.
You don't have to. Yeah.
No.
Okay. No. Let us come up in mufti so they don't recognize you and sit in the back. So they can't ask you a question.
Yeah.
And your MCs are Terry Hoskinson and Irene Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Terry will be. Irene will be tonight.
Uh-huh.
And Terry will be tomorrow night.
Okay. Say, this is this is like the mini folk fest.
It really is.
Yeah, it really is.
But
yeah.
They're 20
all your friends and neighbors, yeah.
They're 20-minute sets instead of 15.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's a little more casual and a little less pressure.
Yeah.
And also, the theater seats only, about, I think, 126.
Yeah.
But people can line the aisles, and they do, and the music will be piped into the dining room.
Into
so
the
you
hall,
can't
so you
eat.
Can, yeah, you can finish
and
your dinner if you don't. If it's late, if it's coming to,
yeah.
If you don't get there in order real early.
I think it's a good spot. It's a good venue.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're doing it, and I hope to keep it up.
So you can go up to the tram anytime you want to.
Right.
Okay, and there's. Just this little thing that you have to do. You have to go in when you buy your ticket, and you have to say, I'm going up for the music.
Right.
And you also have to say, and sell me the dinner, right? And
well, whichever. And Jim Duncan, the manager, said that if you change your mind, what dinner, they can sell you the ticket up there.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. So you can decide that when you get up there. Okay. Good. Let's close this out with the title cut off of Jane Rudenberg's Unmarked Boxes album, shall we?
Yeah, thank
you. Yeah, okay. And so everybody's invited. Come on up. Do it at the tram tonight, right?
Exactly.
Okay, and
great
tomorrow.
Great weather for it, too.
Yeah, great weather for it. What a nice night to look out over the city. Huh?
Thanks, Pat.
Yeah, thank you. It's 4 minutes before 4 o'clock, and you're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. The folks out at the NOAA weather forecast are being exceeding kind to us for the next few days. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 44, northwest winds 10 miles per hour. Saturday, decreasing clouds, highs around 64, southwest winds 5 miles per hour. Saturday night, listen, mostly clear, lows around 46, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Those will turn northwest in the evening. Sunny Sunday. Sunday night, increasing clouds with a slight chance of showers late, and then Monday, rain is likely. A weekend without rain, Juno, with 64, 66 degree temperatures, Juno. Hey, think about it. Time to clear the garden, time to get all that other stuff done, maybe even, oh, mow the lawn one last time, and all of those little things that we all kind of need to do here. Anyway, there's a bunch of stuff coming up this weekend. It's an amazing weekend. Saturday, September 14th, tomorrow, 9 to 6:30 is the day of play. All the facilities in town will be open during the designated times, free of charge. That includes Diamond Park Aquatic Center, Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, the Zach Gordon Youth Center, just everything that the city has open. So at Augustus Brown Pool, you can get 2 free swim lessons. At Juneau's Douglas Museum, it's free admission all day. Marine Park Pavilion, 10 a.m. to noon, they have sidewalk chalk, hopscotch, and coloring. The Zach Gordon Youth Center is going to have a free hot dog lunch. They're going to open up the climbing wall for free. Treadwell Ice Arena, 3 free skate lessons. Floyd Dryden Gym, basketball activities all day. Valley Public Library, 1:30 to 4:30 p.m. Scavenger hunt, storytelling, more. Trucks and stuff at Diamond Park. Come on out, climb through the various equipment. Diamond Park Aquatic Center, 2 free swim sessions out there. So just an amazing opportunity. All of that is tomorrow all day long at the Juneau's 4th Annual Day of Play. Step out into that, and then in the evening go up to the tram and take advantage of the wonderful program that we just talked about a couple of minutes ago. The Capital Brewfest is Saturday, beginning at 1 p.m., so if you're not into play, you might be into drinking beer. That will be, at the Capital Brewery at the Jack. So it's over at the Jack. Go over and have a sip. And let's see. There is one interesting thing. There's a drill exercise all day tomorrow at the airport from, 6 p.m. tonight. They're going to close the EVAR, the trail that goes down behind the back of the thing, and it'll open up around 5 p.m. tomorrow because of that. Let me see here. Saturday hike for September 14th is Mount Troy. Goal is to walk the ridge, head down the Dan Mahler Cabin, walk out to the trail at the Snow Machiners parking lot on Blueberry Hill Road. You need to be at, the Eagle Crest parking lot at 9:30 in the morning. It's encouraged that you carpool because this is a one-way hike. A couple of cars will be left over at the Snow Machiners parking lot to return everyone to Eagle Crest. No dogs or firearms, of course, on the hike. Wonderful things coming up this weekend in Juneau, and you can hear more of them or check our webpage where you'll find the community calendar out there with a lot of information on it. And you hear all of this kind of stuff on KTOO Juneau. And to make our signal clearer, we broadcast on a set of translators, K276AF over in the Mendenhall Valley in Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT is in Hoonah, and K210AS is in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. You can also hear GCI Cable's digital channel 871. We're broadcasting on there, and we're also online at ktoo.org. We thank KTOO's the Corporation for Public Broadcasting for supporting KTOO and also listeners like you. Stay tuned now for All Things Considered.